First of all, I want to thank those that gave testimonies, Ed and Gabe and April and Pat. And they did such a good job with the verses, I don't have to say too much. But one of the things that we try to work against as a church is for people to leave our activities or our services without really understanding what the gospel is. You know, a lot of times the word gospel is thrown around, but what exactly is it? Well, if you take a look at your hand, you'll notice you've got five fingers on it. Most of you, Rob, you might be an exception, but you've got five fingers on that hand. And the gospel really is simple as these five fingers. The thumb and the index finger are bad news. The middle finger, ring finger, and little finger are good news. So it's hard to appreciate good news until you hear the bad news that the good news is rescuing us from. So if you take a look at your thumb stands for the following piece of bad news. We are a sinner before a holy God. Ed Jones brought this up in his testimony. It's there, he quoted Romans 3, verse 23, which is a very universal statement. It says, "For all, not some, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." The interesting thing about the Ten Commandments is we, by nature, violate those Ten Commandments constantly, either in thought, word, and deed. So the Ten Commandments don't just govern what we do, it governs the motives of our heart. So one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not lie. Have you ever told a lie? A small one? We call them white lies. But what does that make you? Makes you a liar, right? One of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not covet. The interesting thing about coveting is a sin that can take place in my heart. Coveting is desiring something for yourself that rightfully belongs to another. So when we study the Ten Commandments very carefully, we learn that our hearts have committed sins that our hands haven't gotten around to yet, which makes us all of us guilty. The index finger stands for the following idea. Number two, second piece of bad news. The penalty for your sin, the penalty for our sin, is death. And this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 2, verse 17, God told our forebears, "But from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it is the day you will surely die." In the New Testament, we read these words, "For the wages of sin is death." A wage is a cost. A wage is a price. So you hear sometimes people say, well, if you don't want to do the time, don't do the what? The crime. So crime costs, and all of us are subject to death because of our sin. And that takes us to our middle finger, and now we begin the good news. The first piece of good news is God, in His infinite love, provided Jesus Christ, who died for you and paid for the penalty of your sins. And you'll notice that April, in her testimony, quoted Romans 5, verse 8, which says, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So if you were the only person on planet Earth, Jesus would have shed His blood just for you. So God did something to tangibly fix our problem. and it has to do with his sacrificial death on the cross 2,000 years ago, where he paid the complete penalty for all of our sins. And he proved he was God through his bodily resurrection from the dead. He didn't just die for humanity in general, he died for you specifically. And this takes us to our ring finger, and this is the second piece of good news. And the ring finger stands for the following. You can be saved from hell by depending upon Jesus Christ alone to save you. The Bible teaches that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why does it say that? It says it because of Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. But to the one who does not work, but believes. Let me say that again. But to the one who does not work, but believes. In him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Faith is the one thing we can do in the eyes of God which is not a work. A synonym for faith, a synonym of course being a different word, same meaning, would be rely upon, depend upon, have confidence in, trust. You know, when I walked under this tent right here, I had to have some degree of faith or trust that it was constructed right and the whole thing wouldn't collapse. When you sat down in that chair, you had to have some degree of faith or trust or confidence. You were trusting that that chair was manufactured correctly. And so the gospel is we take the faith that we use in normal life, and there comes a point in our life where we take our faith and rest it exclusively in Jesus Christ for our eternity. So I trust the safekeeping of my soul into Jesus Christ and his promises. And the moment that happens is the moment that I am declared righteous in the eyes of a holy God. So all of these other points 1, 2, 3, and 5 are educational, but point 4, your ring finger, is the one thing we do, which is to trust. And Ed Jones brought it up in his testimony. Becoming a Christian is not about giving money, it's not about doing good works, it's not about promising to try harder, but it's totally about trusting completely what Jesus has done. And if that's something you have done or are doing or want to do, then on the authority of the Word of God, you are a Christian. And that takes us to point number 5, which is the little finger at the end of the hand there. And point number 5, which is another piece of good news, is simply this. God wants you to know for sure that you are saved and have eternal life. April, in her testimony, read 1 John 5, verse 13, which says, "The things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God," or excuse me, let me reread that. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Jesus in John 5, verse 24 said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has," present tense, "eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed," it's something that's already happened in faith, "passed out of death into life." You can leave today with the 100% guarantee that, God forbid, if you were to die in a car accident on the way home, that upon death your soul would go immediately to be with Jesus Christ. It's not something that you can be 75% sure of or 95% sure of. It's not like the weather report, you know, there's a 90% chance of rain or whatever. This is an absolute guaranteed certainty. And it's certain because it doesn't depend upon you. It depends upon God's promises. The only thing you did is trust in the message. So if, as I'm talking, becoming a Christian is something that you want to do, the good news or the gospel is you can do it right now as I'm talking. It's not something you have to walk forward to receive. It's not something you have to raise a hand to receive. You don't have to do anything public because it's simply conditioned upon faith. Faith is something that takes place in the privacy of a person's mind and the privacy of a person's heart. And so as the Holy Spirit, no doubt, is placing many of you under conviction, because Jesus said that's what the Holy Spirit would do, our very strong exhortation to you is to just go ahead the best you know how in the privacy of your own mind, thoughts, and heart to trust in Jesus Christ. And if it's something that you have done or are doing, then you've just changed your eternal destiny. If it's something that you want more information on, I'm available to talk at any point this evening. The four individuals that were up here sharing their faith are available to talk as well. But it really is the definitive issue of a person's life. The most important question in life is, are you going to trust Jesus Christ for salvation or not? Everything else that happens in life is important, but it's very much secondary. Because your decision in this matter determines where you spend eternity. An eternity with God or an eternity separated from God. So real quickly, by way of review, number one, your thumb, you are a sinner before a holy God. You don't have to work hard at being a sinner. Sinning comes naturally to all of us, as Ed Jones pointed out. Number two, your index finger. The penalty for sin is death. There's a wage or a cost associated with it. And then moving into the middle finger, we have a piece of good news. God, in His infinite love, provided Jesus Christ, who died for you and paid the complete penalty for your sins. And then moving to the ring finger, we have another piece of good news. You can be saved from hell and all of the consequences of sin by depending upon Jesus Christ alone to save you. And then finally, number five, your little finger. God wants you to know for sure that you are saved and have eternal life. So I thank you very much for your attention. Sugarland Bible Church is about people getting together and having fellowship and fun and some of the things we've had tonight, but we're about a lot more than just having fun. We believe God has entrusted us with an eternal message that we wanted to share. And at this time, I'm going to turn things over to Jim McGowan, who's going to give us a quick rundown on the remaining schedule.